Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Word on the Street podcast, where we take God's word and make it plain and simple for everyone's everyday life, basically. Hello, Trip. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you, Maddie?
I'm doing swell. Doing good. So today we are going to be talking about the benefits of believing in God, which is a topic that may be hard to really cover all of the benefits, but I think it's a good place to start for someone like embarking on the journey of potentially like thinking about why should I believe in God? Why is it important? And what are the benefits of it? I was there at one point.
Yeah. Well, I think we've all been there, and we said this from the very beginning that no one has all the answers, and I would never claim to have all the answers, but I think part of this life is that we're always in process. We're always willing to learn, ready to learn, and we're bold enough to ask the questions at any level.
I think
that's how we grow and as a person, as a species.
So from your perspective, we'll just start there. Like, what would you say are the benefits of believing in God? Believing in a God, what is the benefits of it?
Thank you for asking. The benefits for me, so the question of belief in God, as we're seeing, there's so many levels to it, and I don't think one book or even a set of books or a set of podcasts or a set of discussions would even scratch the surface of defining the benefits. But God is all about writing our personal stories. I think that, you know, our personal testimonies, our personal stories are more powerful than we think. So my personal experience, I've grown up and I've shared this before, depression, anxiety, but like overwhelming, like I wake up in the morning and it's just the anxiety's there and I can't turn it off. I'm always, my brain is just always going about worrying about tomorrow. And so, it really took me growing in my discipleship with Jesus and in my relationship with him to accept that peace that he offers, that Paul talks about in Philippians 4, that peace that is not of this world. It transcends human understanding. It transcends logic, because in this life, how can you have peace when we were talking about this earlier, that like social media and even most of the news is all about setting panic and fear and how out of control things are, which plays into fears and worries and all of that. So this peace has to come from God's realm. And there is peace when, because yielding to God and believing that he is in control and that he is, you know, over and above everything yet in our lives and is sustaining and sovereign over it all, there is a peace you can experience when you let go of that and yield into that. And that's not disengaging logic. It's not disengaging rationality.
So you're sharing your personal testimony about, yes. So you wake up with anxiety and depression, and it wasn't until you found this connection with God that you really started to see relief from that. You really started to feel peace.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could spend a whole podcast just talking about that and unpacking that, but I'm just going to address it from your question, your perspective of what's a benefit for me. I experience peace and taste that peace when I logically, reasonably let go of those things I'm trying to control.
Yeah.
That the world is telling me I can't control.
Yeah.
So I think there's power in saying, well, God, you have control. Mm-hmm. What do you want me to do now as I release that control to you? I think there is a power and an energizing positive peace that you can experience in doing that. And, you know, one of the things that people who don't believe say is that, you know, faith is a delusion and why are you, you know, it's stupid. Well, I think there's power in recognizing what you can control and what you can't, deferring that control to something bigger than us, something greater than us, and then realizing that, well, I do have power moment to moment by living as best I can in loving God, loving my family, and trying to be a blessing to others. I mean, I think that is, there's more power in that than we realize.
Right. So understanding and focusing on what you can control.
Yeah.
And then what you can't control, leaving that up to a higher power.
Yeah.
Right?
Because I spend a lot of my life trying, you know, particularly as an actor, yeah, you feel alone. You know, I thank God I had my wife, I had Micheline, but it's still a very lonely game because there's no way really in. It's different for every person. And once you're in, it doesn't necessarily mean you're in. So there's a lot that you can't control, but that I spent my life trying to control, and it almost broke my marriage. It almost broke me. So that's a trap, I think, that humanity falls into. It goes back to the garden with Satan's temptation. Be your own God. You can be your own God. You can control your own destiny, which we actually really can't. So that was a lie that Satan told us, because we'll just keep spinning and spinning and running ourselves ragged and isolating ourselves because we're seeing it not work. And then we're alone. And then, you know, he wants to destroy us. So I think that's one of the fundamental ways he tries to trap us. So I'm bringing up so much and I'm sorry, but
No. So the opposite. So we're talking about the benefit of believing in God. Talked about having anxiety and depression and how,
yes,
God has brought you, and I mean, at peace, like peace that you didn't find anywhere else. And right, I'm sure many others as well. So the opposite of living in faith would be living in fear, which is anxiety. And as you put, like, being our own sort of God, orienting ourselves towards what we want.
Yeah.
Right. So I think maybe that's something we should talk about first, because, like, the orientation of the highest possible good, being God, so God is the highest possible good, kind of saves you from the example that you mentioned of going your own way, being like, I want to be an actor, maybe it's not working out, but I'm going to keep going. And
yeah, that's a good point, orientation, because if you think about it, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment, and the Pharisees thought they were going to trap him, because how can you sum up the 10 commandments and then the 600 other laws that, you know, from the Old Testament? We got them. And then he says, love God, love others as you love yourself. It's not that you leave yourself out of the equation, but you're orienting yourself to live for God. How does God want to be loved? He wants us to love and choose to love him. Mm-hmm. And God says, love is defined by loving me and then loving others. So now you're outside of yourself, right? How does what I'm doing bless my family and me, but bless others around me? How do I share the blessing? And we're not out of the equation ourselves, because we've got to know and love ourselves. But that doesn't mean you're neglecting yourself. You're still thinking about yourself, but you're just flipping the paradigm to God, others.
Right.
And it's, then yourself.
Yeah. Right. So it becomes about, what does God want me to do, opposed to what do I want to do?
Right.
So, and so the benefits of that would be, again, orienting yourself in the highest possible good. You're going to do the highest possible good, opposed to maybe something that you just want to do, like your personal desires or your short-term sort of gratification.
So it's like circular, right? Because then if you're living for God, and God, who do you want me to bless with what you've given me? And then you'll come back around and see, oh my gosh, all along he's had my best interests, just because I've reframed my orientation and perspective on who I am, whose I am, and who he wants me to serve and bless. And
right. And we were talking about this earlier, and I tend to think it's true, you know, from my own experience and people I talk to, like, even if you take God out of the equation for a moment, because there may be some people that are like contemplating that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, usually people have a, you could call it a calling, or something they're pulled towards. Like, they have, like, there's like two different paths in life. One being kind of, you just kind of go with the flow and maybe like kind of mediocrity. And then the other one's like, I could be great and I could do this and I could help as many people as possible. And I always wanted to try this, and mm-hmm. I could really give myself to being the best version of myself. And that would help everyone around me in my community. I tend to think that we all have that. I don't know if I'm right, but it seems like that in my experience, that we all have that pull towards something that's better and greater than ourselves.
Yeah.
And you could take God out of the equation for a moment, but I tend to think we have that. And I think when you have God as the orientation, you're going to be oriented towards that path.
Right. Well, and when you think about primitive prehistory cultures and, you know, very tribal, you know, I wish I had it in front of me. There was a great study about how one of the losses we have in general as a human species is that daily life or death struggle.
Yeah.
There's something in that energizes and orients us as a species to
get the best version of ourselves,
to
really.
Because whether this hunt is successful or not, it
depends on
my family depends on it. The village is depending on it. So if it's not successful, we're going to be hungry for a week.
Yeah.
Until I can find another mammoth or even another saber-toothed tiger or whatever.
So there's nothing more important than this right now, than what I'm doing right now.
Well, and that's what Jesus said, right? Mm. Just don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries. Focus on now. That's what the flowers do. That's what the birds do. And look, the flowers are beautiful and they'll be gone tomorrow. The birds are singing and they're not worried about, are there enough worms in the ground for the winter? I mean, there's a huge lesson in that. And I think there's peace in that, because then you're literally in the now, in the moment, which is kind of the essence of living, right? The essence of reality is this moment now.
People often try to do all kinds of things to live in the moment.
Yeah. Right. Or recreate it, you know, with artificial intelligence, you know, virtual reality and all of that. Mm-hmm. This reality stinks, so I'm going to put on some goggles and see if I can find meaning in a quest.
A video game
or something.
But the idea was that we have lost that life or death those life or death situations.
Yeah, you know, and there's also something that which then ties into the common good, which is what you were sort of talking about earlier, is that so the hunt, my family's going to eat, so is the village.
Yeah.
Because the village is depending on me as well as my family. And I think also in those primitive cultures in general, there was no the grind of the day to day that you'd get bored with because I'm building this hut for my family for survival, or I'm building it for my neighbor for their survival because we need them in the village. Now we have another hunter and they've got two children. One of them will be another hunter at some point. So it's like you're always thinking about survival outside of yourself, and then you're thinking communally, like, how does this help the village?
Right.
And I think God builds on that by saying, don't lose any of that. In fact, when you orient yourself to me, you'll see the tremendous blessing of living that way in stewarding creation, stewarding culture and diversity and the earth. And so he created that desire in us. He gave us free will to choose him or not, which is the highest expression of love. Has to be. But then you'll see that in him, all of that is purposed beautifully into how he orchestrated kind of like ideal living in this world.
Right, right. So when you have this orientation, then, like, I think with depression, for example, like the main thought is like, why does this matter? What does it matter anyway?
Yeah.
Right. So as you mentioned, like we're missing that, those life or death situations where our actions matter. Like there's nothing more important than this right now, because this is a determinant of this, my survival and my family's and my tribe's survival. Like this is the most important thing. Well, that seems like a good place to end it. More to come soon.
Yes.
So that's been the Word on the Street podcast for this episode.
Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you. So just so you guys know, this podcast will be edited to two different podcasts, a little bit longer. So this will be part one, and then part two will come out next time.